Galatians 5, and let's go to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I was just talking with someone this morning about that thought. If you're raising kids in church, that's going to be their struggle at 17, 18, 19, 20. They're going to have to figure out all the biblical things they know, and they're going to have to figure out if they're going to do them. And the struggle is going to be they know they need to do them. So that's where that battle is fought. Verse 18, but that's what we're going to talk about this morning. If you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So the leading of the Spirit is freedom. The leading of the Spirit isn't a tense thing. So there's no stress. So if you're trying to figure out God's will and you're all tense and you have migraines all the time, you're trying to figure out the will of God in the flesh. You're not being led of the Spirit. The Spirit isn't tense. He is liberating from the law. He is liberating from you and I being in control, which is, let's be honest, that's probably the major issue. I want to be in control. I want to control it. Go to Romans chapter 8. So if we're going to be led of the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 14, Paul says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you're not saved, you can't be led by the Spirit. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to what? Man, that's applicable today. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So being led of the Spirit in this section of scripture, Paul is trying to get this church remembering that he is still fighting against those Gentiles and those Jews that are combining together. Both are getting saved and they're both coming together. And so that Jew is bringing that law with him. And so he's trying to combat that and he's trying to free them from that. You would think 2,000 years removed that we wouldn't have that struggle with that law, but we do. It is still a struggle because we still worry. We are so fearful. Some of us are very systematic. Some of us really love checkboxes. And the law provides you checkboxes. The law says if you do A, B, C, D, then we're good. Well, you're good with God anyway. You don't need checkboxes. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 4. Just to let you know, I taught something completely different last time, and this is what happens when you keep studying. Maybe I just shouldn't study anymore. But this passage here was a great example of being led by the Spirit because it is our example, Jesus Christ. Pastor John touched on this Wednesday night, talking about Jesus Christ being tempted. Luke 4, he used the passage in Matthew. Luke 4, 1 says, and Jesus being full of the what? Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the what? power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him to all the region round about. So several things about this. Notice first off that in verse number one, that he was led of the Spirit. So your godly example on the earth was led by the Spirit of God. Isn't that an odd thing? We talked about it last week. God was led by God. And he was, because he wanted to be the example to you and I that that's what we need to do. But notice, before he was led of the Spirit, he was something else. He was full of him. So the difficulty is staying full. Do you guys have a difficulty keeping your car full of gas? Yeah. Why? Because we use them. If you filled it and parked it in the garage, you could tell everybody, yeah, got a full tank. But you're not using it. It's not helping you. So our difficulty, we're in the flesh. We're going, we're doing. Even if we're doing things for God. If we're not careful, we begin to slide into, and this is where kids raised in church, this is where they struggle. I knew by the time I was 13, 14-ish in there, all the things I needed to do to make sure that you thought that I was a spiritual kid. Why? Because there are checklists. We always tell our kids, we don't do this, we do this, we don't do this, we do that. Now, my dad was always combating that strangely with the Bible. And so what we do, we slide there. We know the things we get to do. So we can start coming to church and start serving the Lord in a multiple of areas without being full of the Holy Spirit of God. So if I'm not full of the Holy, if I'm following Jesus Christ's example, to be led by the Spirit, I have to be full of him. But the problem is, through the week, I run empty. And if I'm not daily in the Word of God, and daily on my knees, and daily praying, and daily getting before the throne of God, and daily letting the Spirit speak to me, I run empty. And too much of our lives, there is no fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because I'm not full of him, and he can't work. I restrict him. He never, the lack of fruit in my life is never his fault. It is the one time that it actually is true that it's me, not you. That is actually the one instance where this is very true. It is always me. It is never him. So here's the question. How do you become full of the Holy Spirit? I watched a lady on live PD last night. Even with the virus, people still got arrested. It was a weird thing. and they pulled her over, and she had come from a sketchy part of town known for drugs, and so they were pulling her over because she was at a house known for it. And as soon as they pulled her out of the car, they weren't even arresting her. She went straight down to her knees and was speaking in tongues, asking Jesus to rescue her from this situation. And all the cops are just like, what? She's like the one lady officer said, ma'am, if you'll just calm down and speak to us. She's like, I'm talking in my heavenly language. It's like, that's not being full of the Spirit. That's confusion of what Acts 2 means. Acts 2 is not a language that only you know. Because here's what I want. If you're speaking in tongues, I want you to do that same exact phrase again. That's super difficult. Now, with another language, Brother Oscar, you can say the same thing over and over again, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, it's very correct. Why? Because it means something. And so being full of the Spirit isn't this random overflowing of gibberish. Being full of the Spirit means this. It means quite to the same degree. Now, we're going to use a big word. This is not my word. This is a dictionary word. With abatement or diminution. And so then I thought, what in the world is that? So it's this. The act of lessening or making smaller, opposed to augmentation as the diminution of size or power. So it means this. Being full of the Spirit of God means that I'm at that level all the time and there is not this diminishing of it. So if I'm walking in step with him, then I stay full of him. I'm in agreement with him. You struggle in your marriage relationship, if you're married this morning, because you get out of step. And you're not in agreement. And clearly, the other person's wrong. And we get that way with the Holy Spirit of God. And so when that happens, I'm not as full as I should be. Once again, it's not his fault. So it's not a mystical thing. It is something that God expects us to do. The problem, it's a spiritual thing that we have to accomplish using our flesh. This isn't something that I can think. I can't think myself full of the Holy Spirit of God. I have to do some things. So let's look in your Bible. Strangely enough, it does tell us how to do this. We're going to look at two phrases, filled with and full of the Holy Ghost in your Bible. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 1 and let's look at... That is probably not correct. No, that is correct. That is the right one. Luke 1, and let's look at verse 15. So here we're talking about angel comes to Zacharias. Verse 13 says, "For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, shall call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be what? Filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." So here's number one. If I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God, there's going to be a separation from the world. This separation is no wine or strong drink. Pastor John mentioned that Wednesday night. What is that? That is a number. Now, A, there's biblical. There's lots of verses that say that you shouldn't drink. So I'm not even arguing. I'm not arguing grapes with you. I'm not doing any of that. Shouldn't drink, biblically. But there's a myriad of other ways in your life to separate yourself from the world. You shouldn't be able to have conversations about all the movies that are shown. Why? Because there should be some separation. There should be some things that you're like, I don't know about that. If you can carry on a conversation about the HBO filth series Game of Thrones, there's an issue. There's just no way. There's no, nope, you shouldn't, nope. No. And that's one of the deepest pits. But separation from the world. Here's what Spurgeon had to say about it. "There should be as much difference between the worldling and the Christian as between hell and heaven, between destruction and eternal life." There should be a vast difference. Where this thing gets caught, what I've watched in my short 39 years, can't wait for May, I'll turn 40, wisdom falls from heaven. It's going to be great. Where this meets a lot of times is in dress standard. That's where we get stuck. And when we get stuck there, we don't go any further. I've seen too many young people get stuck. I can't wear what? And they don't ever grow again. They stop right there. Or if you tell them, don't watch that or don't use that app. What do you mean? Separation from the world. There are things that you just shouldn't know, right? You just shouldn't know them. When you're in a conversation and the guy at work says something, there ought to be some stuff you just don't know. That you just can't be in the conversation. Why? Because there should be some separation. And why? If I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God, I can't intake everything the world throws at me. And expect myself to walk with God and to have that relationship and to bear some fruit of the Spirit, which we mentioned in the beginning. That fruit is for everybody else. I bear it, but all of that fruit helps this vile thing be okay enough to have a conversation with. Because if you're like me, I don't mind having conversations, but I don't need to have them. And what does the Spirit do? He changes that in me. The more we go in society, the more selfish we become. How do I know that? Just drive. Just on your way home today, drive. Just drive home and just you don't even have to get in anybody's way. You just have to be in your car on the road and you will run into the people that hate your very existence. We were going Friday night. I was headed somewhere and I stopped at a stoplight. There's a car over here. Light turned green and I turned on the green right and they turned left and were blaring their horn, flashing their lights at me, riding my bumper up to the next light. And I thought, So I was thinking back in my mind, did I break some law that I didn't know about? I could have turned on the red and I didn't because it changed so fast. It went green and I turned right. There's no arrow for them. And I just thought, that's why. Because we're selfish. There was something that I did that they didn't like and approve of. What does the Holy Spirit do? Being full of the Holy Spirit keeps that stuff at bay. And it pushes it all out. But there has to be a difference in myself. Watchman Nee said this, separation to God and separation from the world is the first principle of Christian living. I have to be interested in the things of God and I have to be disinterested in the things of the world. The difficulty is we have to live here. You have to own stuff. You have to buy, well, you can't buy everything you want right now. Some of it's not there. But you have to buy stuff. You have to exist. But where our struggle comes is not getting wrapped up in everything. It's very difficult for a Christian to be wrapped up in sports as much as the world is. I had an opportunity one time to have infield tickets to MIS on a Sunday. They could walk down and they could have sat next to Jeff Gordon before he retired. I was offered those. There was four of them. And I had to say no. Why? Because you're spiritual? No, because there's a difference between myself and the lost world. Sunday is just another day for them. Sunday is not another day for me. It is separation to God. It is God's day. It has always been God's day. And so Sunday is the easiest thing to prove to the world that you're different. Our issue is this. I want everybody to like me. And I don't want them to think weird things about me. And so I begin to give away parts of my Sunday. God still deserves Sunday night if your church has service. He does. Why? Sunday night is still His. Sunday afternoon is still His. We're supposed to be separated to Him and from the world. Now, separation, not isolation. You still have to be a witness. I still have to be a witness. And you know when that's easy to do? When I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God. When I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God and a lot of me is gone, I'm a really good witness. When I'm really full of me and the Holy Spirit is jogging to catch up, I'm not a very good witness. So having that balance is good. Let's go to the book of Acts. Start in verse 2 on the subject of witnessing. If I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God, this will be an easy thing to do. Acts 2, go to verse 4. Here's one of the confusing verses that is talked about. All right, verse 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Go to chapter 4 and verse 5. 4:5. Came to pass on the morrow that their elders, their rulers and elders and scribes, Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, with whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the what? Boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with who? Jesus. Go to verse 31. Said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Okay, so this Holy Spirit of God, I am supplemented with boldness. Why? I don't have that in my flesh. I have free course to be an idiot. I have free course to say whatever's off the top of my head. And if we're not careful, those things cross over when we get to witnessing sometimes. I'll be real frank, and I'm not going to hurt anybody's feelings with this, okay? I was raised around street preaching guys. But I wasn't raised around the right kind of street preaching guys. I was raised around the guys that mixed the two. They weren't out there to see people saved. They were out there to beat people with the Bible. If you didn't come last summer, come this summer down to where are we at? It's Home Plate, whatever that intersection is. Just come down there and see it. Why? Brother James is the guy that heads it up, does a great job with it, has the right heart about it. Why? Witnessing takes boldness, but it doesn't need an idiot. And too, well, I just say it how people need to hear it. I mean, you can judge when that person walks up to you, you can judge in an instant what they need and how you're going to say it. Don't think so. But me being full of the Holy Spirit of God, I can give someone the gospel. And listen, it's still up to them whether they receive it or reject it. But if I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God and they reject it, I don't get mad. But if I'm full of self and you reject it, then I get mad. And I've seen that too many times. That is wrong. That is not biblical, and that is Jesus Christ didn't even, well, he went in the temple with it. Now, see, you missed the context of the whole thing. It's not our job to root out religion, which is what Jesus Christ was doing. My job is, though, to be a witness. And sometimes the boldness is just because I'm so weak. And I'd rather not stand here and say this. And I'd rather not give you a tract. You know why we don't like to give tracts to people at Kroger? Because we're in the same store all the time. And you go through the same checkout with the same people. And what we fear is the next time I go through, they're going to say something to me. Except if I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God, I want that. Because that was the point of giving them the tract. So I am supplemented with boldness. The boldness comes from Him. Being full of the Holy Spirit of God actually gives me that boldness. Go to Acts chapter 6. And verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and what? Wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So this is where they were looking for some men to help. The widows were being neglected in verse 1, so they were looking for some men to help so that they could study and pray and do the ministry of the word of God. And so they were looking for seven men. First thing was, they were honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and then what? Wisdom. I am supplemented, when I am full of the Holy Spirit of God, I am supplemented with godly wisdom. The great thing about godly wisdom is it comes with other things like discernment. Godly wisdom helps me be discerning. So that when you approach me, if I'm witnessing, God helps me discern where you're at. And sometimes that just comes from nothing more than just being out there and doing it. And you can read people's body language and you ever read somebody's body language, but you were way off and you were just terrified. This is going to be the worst thing ever. And then they get saved. Why? Because that's us trying to figure it out. The great thing, God, Jesus Christ said he was going to leave the Comforter with us. He is with us all the time. I'm supposed to be full of him. The more I'm full of him and the less I'm full of me, the better off everybody else that I'm around is, saved or lost. So I am supplemented with godly wisdom. Go to Acts chapter 11 and let's go to verse 24. Acts 11, verse 24. Let's go to verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which is in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man. And what was he? Full of the Holy Ghost, and of what? Faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. I am supplemented with faith. You had enough faith to get saved. All the rest of our faith is linked to the Holy Spirit of God and how He works. The moments that I'm fearful and I don't want to make a choice and I don't want to do something, I am more full of me than I am full of the Holy Spirit of God. If you want to pray for something for Pastor John, here is a really good list. You know what he needs more than anything else? Well, yeah, he needs all of that. Yeah, well, he's the pastor. Yeah, see, that all that is a really great phrase. That's all that is. Being the pastor means that he has stress that I don't have. That he's praying and thinking about things that I'm not praying and thinking about. It means that last night at 8 o'clock when I stopped by to do something, he was here. That's what that means. And a man like that needs us praying for things like this. Why? Because he needs to be full of the Holy Spirit of God. Otherwise, he will begin to direct all this with himself, which he does not want to do. That applies to pastor, yes. But guys, that applies to us. If you are going to follow anybody, you're going to have to be full of the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because 9 times out of 10, I don't like what you say. That's even more true when it just comes to regular meetings of business. Not church-wise, because church-wise we link Bible in. But when we're just talking business, if everybody in the room isn't full of the Holy Spirit of God, what are we full of? Self. And when you're talking, I'm not listening. But if you're full of the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm hearing where you're coming from, and I know that you have no motive behind what you're saying, and you want the best for this church, I will listen to what you have to say, and you'll listen to what I have to say, and God will help us make a choice. Otherwise, what is it? It's a mess. And some of you have been in those messes. Here's a quote by Spurgeon. It says, "To trust God in the light is nothing, but trust Him in the dark, that is faith." Trusting God when you have the plans laid out in front of you, simple. Easy. But when you have no plans, and you're left with nothing, trusting God in that spot is much, much harder. So I am supplemented with faith. Why? Because I don't have it. I don't know if you can see that. Thought it was kind of faded this morning. Spurgeon also said, "There is no saint here who can out-believe God. God never out-promised himself yet." And that's something to keep in mind. God's not like us. Oh, yeah, you remember when I said that? Yeah. See, I'm not going to be able to be there and do that. God doesn't do that. If He promised it, He will keep His end. And He knows we're so weak that He gave us the Holy Spirit of God to help us with our faith. How amazing is that? Go to, I think I put the wrong reference in here. I did. Terrible. Somewhere else in Acts. You're supplemented with a good testimony. And maybe that's a homework assignment. You can go find where that was. But that's the same reference we just used, and it wasn't the same one. I know that for sure. But we're supplemented with a good testimony. Why? Because we don't have one. If people think good of you, it's because of Jesus Christ. If it's just me and you, we're all in a big heap of trouble. So being full of the Holy Spirit of God really helps us. And listen, this is a really short list of what this means. But when Luke 1 says that he was full of the Holy Ghost, this is just some small things that Jesus Christ was. So if we're going to be led by Him, if the Spirit is going to lead us, go back to Luke chapter 1. If He's going to lead us, I'm going to have to be, sorry, Luke chapter 4, I said 1. I'm going to have to be leaning on Him instead of myself. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, and it says this again. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Number one, if I'm going to be led by the Spirit, my sufficiency is correct. My sufficiency is correct. He was led by Him, and He was full of Him. In other words, Jesus wasn't mapping his own journey. He was allowing his Father to lead the way for him. Not thy will, or not my will, but thine be done. What does that mean? That means Jesus Christ's sufficiency on this earth was not in himself. It was in the Father and it was in the Spirit. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If I'm going to be led, it can't be about me. The hard part about giving God the reins is sometimes he makes choices we don't like. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendations from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of who? God. If I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God, I have to take Paul's example and say, God, my sufficiency, everything that I'm trying to accomplish, the direction I'm trying to go, is all about you. I can't form any of it. I can't make any of it take place. God does all of that for me. In the moments that things begin to go wrong in my life, you know what I've noticed? That I've reached over and taken the reins back, and I'm trying to control and manipulate and place everything in order. But when God is doing all of it, and I am sitting back in faith, resting and letting him lead, it sure does go better. The second thing is in verse number 4 of Luke chapter 4. Luke 4:4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Our issue sometimes is that our sustenance is incorrect. You cannot make it in this world without the bread of God. Can't make it. I don't care how much you read a day. I don't care how much you study a day. This book better be just as important in your life, actually more important in your life than this. If you're spending more time on this than you are in this, that unbalance will show itself. You can't be the mom that you need to be. Pinterest is not going to give you all the things you need. But that book will. There isn't anything on here. I don't even like my Bible app. I just use it for searching words. This won't sustain you, but that book will. Go to John chapter 6. Not a very good passage at the end here, because Jesus discovers who it is that's going to stay and who it is that's going to go. Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because it's hard. Sometimes it's just pride that gets in my way. And I don't want to do what God wants. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, for the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are what? Life. You ever... for me, I like godly music. There isn't nothing that picks me up quicker than somebody else singing about Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're using the words of life. The song is based on the words of life. That's why we still have a hymnal. Not because we're trying to prove anything to anybody, but because the songs written in there were written based on the words of life. And so that songbook links back to the Bible. My sustenance, guys, our sustenance is not Netflix. It's not Disney Plus. Our sustenance comes from this book. And moms and dads in the room that are my age raising kids, if you're not raising your kids in this book, you're missing the most vital part of them growing up. And if you were raised in a Christian home, get off the fence. There ain't nothing on the other side of that that's any good. Everything that you've been taught is true. Here's our issue. It's hard work to prove it sometimes. Because we bump up into that area where my faith actually has to be my own. And mom and dad have done it to this point. And those first couple times of truly trusting the Lord, those are tough. But if you don't do them, you'll never be full of the Holy Spirit of God. But the first time you do it and God comes through in an impossible situation, like Mrs. Tantanella, all of a sudden, what a great text this week down the prayer chain, that now we've got two things that have been answered out of that massive list I sent the first time. What is that? That is God working. That is doctors going back and looking at reports going, no, there was something, and now there's nothing. Why? Brother John, I'm going to tell a secret. When they first moved to Toledo, I did a room of carpet for them. And I got all done, and I was looking for them, and I couldn't find them. I'm like, come on, it's your house. Where'd you go? And you know where they were? They were on the back porch reading their Bibles together. Fast forward to today. You know what that is? That is them reaping, making this book the sustenance of their life and of their marriage. Super hard to fight with a spouse that you need to sit down and read the Bible with every day. Super hard to fight with a spouse that you know today we're going to hold hands and pray. But if we're not praying and we're not in that book together, fighting, just a part of life. We rely on too many things besides the Word of God for the everyday stuff that just goes on in our life. If you own a business, this ought to be a part of your business. You ought to be on your knees before God asking Him to bless something that you would ruin if you actually got your hands on it. It is our sustenance. And when I'm full of Him and He is leading me, I want for nothing. The world is still going to offer, so that will never stop. There will always be the phrase, but wait, there's more. Because for the world, it never stops. But if you've never gotten to the place in your life where God is blessing and giving and blessing, and you just sit back and go, I don't deserve any of this, then you're doing it wrong. Brother Jim showed me a picture of a rolled over car from his son-in-law last week. Rolled it over 3 times, got out, no issues. What is that? Oh, I know what it is. It's Dad sitting over there praying. Why? It is our life. The words that we have is our life. Go back to Luke chapter 4 and let's look at verse 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thirdly, if I'm being led of the Spirit, I am full of him. Therefore, go to the book of Psalms, chapter 2, my service is correct. He said that the Lord is the only one that I'm supposed to worship. The devil wants God's worship. So when it comes to, I'm sorry if I keep saying this, but this is who I am, so I live in this world, I know this, the devil can't have my soul, but he can have my testimony. And so what is he doing? The devil, every day of my life, is looking for an area that I can worship him in. He is daily digging for it. He is daily looking for it. Because if he can have a little bit of God's worship, that's what he wanted in the very beginning. When he fell, what did he want? He wanted, as he covered the throne of God, as he was the music in heaven, as he added the glory above the throne of God, do you know what he wanted? He wanted the glory that God was getting. And he still wants it. And so when you and I come and you sit and you read your Bible and you sit with your daughters and you read your Bible, you know what that does to him? That irritates him. So what does he do? He'll come at you. Not, he can't get any, he can't, you're saved, you're locked in. But he can get your testimony. And he can get God's glory for a little bit of the day. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 11. Serve the Lord with what? Fear and rejoice with what? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and perish from the way, when his wrath be kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. There ought to be some fear with my service. Not that I'm shaking, but a reverence. The reason we mess up, go to 102 if you're not already there. The reason we mess up in our service of God is we don't reverence God as we should. Why? Because we're becoming more and more of a visual society. We've never seen God, so we forget about him. We think about him in the moments that we're reading our Bible, or that we're praying, or that we're having a spiritual conversation. But besides that, he's not in our thoughts at all. When was the last time that you thought about the Lord coming back? It ought to be a continual thing. But if we're honest, man, it comes and goes, doesn't it? And more times than not, it's gone. Psalm 102, and go to verse 22. Said, when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to what? Serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way he shortened my days. I said, oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. God is always worth serving. My service for God is never wasted. My doing something for God is never wrong. And when I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God, and the devil comes at me, I will know to deflect that with Scripture, as Pastor John said Wednesday night, and then to serve the Lord. Why? Because the devil wants what is God's. Go back to Luke chapter 4. And let's go to verse 12. So here's the last answer. The devil here in verse 10 gets a little tricky. He does his own, for it is written. So you got to watch him on that. He's sly. The devil, you understand the devil knows the Bible just probably better than you do? And your first temptation in your Bible is using what? God's words. So if he used it on Eve, he's using it on us. There's no question. Verse 12. Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Here's what the word tempt means. My sincerity is correct. Tempt means to put on trial for proof. I'm not tempting God for sin. You ever tempt God to prove himself? Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8. He says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. My sincerity is correct. My sincerity is something that God looks at when and while I'm serving him. Always. He's always looking. He's always trying to figure out, what's my motive? You ever ask yourself that? What is my motive? I'm doing this for the Lord, but what's my motive? If I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God, I won't be tempting him. I won't be needing God. Well, I just needed God to prove himself. You shouldn't have to say that too much. There's going to be moments, yeah. But that shouldn't be a weekly thing. And what was the devil trying to do? He was trying to get Jesus Christ to prove that he was God. Jesus Christ didn't need to prove that to anybody. And once again, all the devil wanted was just a little bit of the glory that belonged to the Lord. I'll go back to Luke chapter 4 and let's look at verse 14. Luke 4, 14. So verse 13 says, when the devil had ended all the temptation, that makes me wonder if there were more than just those three. He departed from him. What's the next three words? For a season. There's a fun Bible study word for you. Look up that word. For a season. Your life is built of seasons. We have four of them in Toledo, and we're welcoming the next one in. Hallelujah. Verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Lastly, this morning, my strength is correct. Go to Romans chapter 15. If I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God and he is leading me, the power that I have is his. Romans 15, verse 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through what? Power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, and the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by who? The Holy Ghost. I have therefore, wherefore I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the what? Power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and from round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. My strength is what other people see. And they either see that I'm really strong or they really see that you walk with God. How do I get that done? I get that done by being full of the Holy Spirit of God and then letting him lead me. And that doesn't happen by coming to church. Coming to church, A, fellowship. I get to see you, talk to you, I sharpen you, you sharpen me. We get the devil preached out of us, hopefully, or we get some more ammunition. But this walking with the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit of God, this is an everyday occurrence. Say, I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Okay, then tomorrow, get in this book. Multiple times. Memorize scripture. We're doing discipleship. Got that up and rolling. Why? Accountability is a word that we need to introduce to this generation. Accountability. Spiritual accountability. Well, it's none of your business. I got some scripture that will combat that. It actually is our business. Now, we're saying that because we know people that overstep God's line. But it is my business to say, you doing all right? That is why we're here. And me asking you that shouldn't be intimidating. And so discipleship, what does it do? That puts me across from you. And if I'm discipling Nate, which he didn't want me, he wanted Pastor John. Huh. So I haven't talked to him in a year. What does it do? It puts us in a spot and it makes us have spiritual conversation. And I'll say this, being on this end of it, it is just as good for me as it is for him. And we quote scripture together, and we're reading Bible together. What is that doing? That is making sure that we stay full of the Holy Spirit of God. So that he can be led, so that he can lead his family. That's what this is all about. This isn't about some cool club that we all get to be a part of. This is about whatever station in life, whatever gender you were born, because there's only two. Whatever one you were born, God has specific directions of what you're supposed to be. And don't take offense if you don't like. I don't like the fact that I'm in charge. I don't like this. I didn't ask for this. But God gave us specific things, and not only that, not only specific things, but then he gave us the ability to do them correctly. And this bearing of the fruit of the Spirit is best done when I'm walking with, when I'm led by, when I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God. That strength has to be correct. Let's finish up with this verse right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And this next phrase is it. My strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. God's strength is best when we're nothing. I wish somebody would have wrote, when I am weak, he is strong. Why? Because that is so true. It doesn't take a young preacher very long to figure out how much study time and how much prayer time and how much stuff you got to figure out. But then you got to balance that out, because then you get it too figured out. But if you preach anywhere, you know this. You've arrived somewhere with an outline for the ages. And then you got up there and the Lord decided not to come. And you are preaching in your own strength. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may what? Rest upon me. Guys, if you want the fruit of the Spirit, you have to be led by Him, which means you have to be full of Him. Jesus Christ went hand-to-hand combat with Satan. And how did He do it? By being full of the Holy Spirit of God and by being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we're thankful for the time we've had this morning. Thankful for folks coming out to church today. God, our world is just an absolute mess right now. But Father, we know that You're in control. God, that You have everything in the order that You want it. Pray that as we look into this series, as we're finishing this up, God, I pray that this fruit of the Spirit would abound in us. And God, that we would be better for having been in Your word and understanding what it means. Help us now this morning. Be with our pastor. Give him what we need to hear this morning. Bless our morning service. We do thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.